Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. And welcome to our May 24th podcast. Whoa, and a big crowd today in our studio, our digital audience. Oh, we're happy to see y'all again. And we got a great story for you to start the show. $1 million scratch-off winner at a small grocery store just 3 blocks from my house. And we're talking about Western Pennsylvania and these small outlets. Generally, they're grocery stores, convenience stores. They have these lottery terminals, but they also sell scratch-off tickets. And wait, you hear this one. It's a heartwarming story. So let's come right back and tell the story of our $1 million scratch-off winner. This is a story of Charity Stuyvesant, S-T-I-V-A-S-O-N, who won $1 million. Charity was recently widowed. Her husband, Travis, died in October of a brain aneurysm, and they have 2 children. And so, you know, it's a tough situation, and I think everybody who hears this story will really be happy for Charity. In fact, maybe Travis, somehow in heaven looking down, arranged this whole thing. But she stopped at this grocery store on her way to work very often and bought these lottery tickets, and she bought the $20 version, you know, hoping for big money. I guess she often told the people behind the counter, "Oh, make me a millionaire." And she scratched it off, and it was a $40 winner. And so she used that winning to buy another ticket, but she left. And when she pulled up at work, it's not too far away, she scratched it off, and she almost passed out. You know, she saw it was $1 million winner, and she immediately went back to the store. And the girl behind the counter at the store at the lottery terminal says, I don't know what to do with this. You know, what do you do? But there was one of the managers was there, and she had some practice in filling out the state forms. And she helped Charity fill out the form. And she said that Charity is always very pleasant. Everybody at the store is very excited that we had the big winner. And nobody could be more excited than Charity, of course. So this little grocery store did have a $250,000 winner about 20 years ago, but that's a long time. But they've never had $1 million winner. And under the rules here in Pennsylvania, the lottery outlet that sells the ticket gets $5,000 when the win is $1 million. But Charity says her life turned upside down in the blink of an eye. And she says, this was a big blessing in an otherwise terrible 6 months. And sometimes I think, thinking about her deceased husband, did you do something for me? I don't know, but he always said he'd take care of me. And, you know, thinking about winning $1 million, the 48-year-old Charity Stuyvesant said she has no plans to retire. She's a direct care worker, and she assists people with disabilities, and she helps them with job employment, keeping their jobs, and maintaining their jobs. She doesn't plan to do anything real big with her winnings, but she says she might take her grandchildren to Walt Disney World. And she wants to fix her house and have enough money to where she doesn't have to eat cat food when she's old. Well, if you're smart with that money, Charity, that's the last thing you have to worry about. But congratulations. You know, with the casinos closed, you're thinking, boy, nobody's winning those life-changing amounts anymore like can be done in progressive slot machines and sometimes in table games. But here, right here in our little village, just 3 blocks from my front door, a resident of our town won $1 million on a scratch-off ticket. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Congratulations, Charity. What a wonderful story to tell. And, of course, Pennsylvania as a state is virtually still locked down in condition yellow. A little bit of relief, but not nearly enough. But grocery stores have been open throughout the pandemic lockdown, shutdown, and, you know, consequently, it was okay for anyone to go into a grocery store because that's where, again, as I said, so many of the lottery terminals are, you know, in these convenience stores or small grocery stores or giant supermarkets. They still had those Pennsylvania lottery ticket terminals and scratch-off tickets being sold at those places. So this brings a little sunshine into the negative pandemic news that we hear too often. Okay, we're coming back for part 2 of our podcast, and we'll be talking about some of the biggest losses. We thought this is just like a reverse segue. Biggest losses that people have seen or experienced firsthand on the craps tables, all right? This is not craps talk, but it's about seeing people lose playing craps. Maybe we don't mention that enough. And this came from, these sources came from our Facebook group, Casinos USA. You can search us out on Facebook and just answer one simple question and you're a member. We have 600 members presently. We post too often, nearly every day and some. But we asked a question on the Facebook group. What was the biggest loss you've ever seen at a craps table while you were there? And I'm going to give you a couple of them. And you know what? This will wake you up. This will make you pay attention to what you do with your money. Okay. All right. We'll be right back. So we're going to talk about the Foxwoods Casino. That's one of those giant, one of the biggest ones in the country. Tribal casinos, biggest casinos in the country, not just tribal. Of course, it's in Connecticut. And this story is from Chris. We won't use his last name. And, you know, he's at the craps table and somebody walks up to the craps table and they have these chips, you know. They're coming from another table, perhaps, or, you know, wherever they got the chips, they got thousands of dollars of chips. And he makes a $10,000 lay bet on the 10. And if you're not a craps player, when you lay a number, you're betting that the 7 will come up before that particular number is rolled. And you have an advantage in a sense because there's more ways to make a 7 than any other number. And the 10, of course, there's only 3 ways to make a 10. You know, if you have 2 dice, it could be a 4-6, a 6-4, or a 5-5. There's 6 ways to make a 7. And so when you lay the 10, you put down twice as much to win half. So I do that sometimes. I put $40 down and, if I hit that, I win a big $20, all right? If somebody rolls a 10 or the 4 that I'm laying before 7, I lose $40, all right? So, but here's the problem. This guy lost. So somebody makes the 10 and he keeps doing it. And he loses $30,000 in 5 minutes and he walks away. And so nobody expects to see him again. You think, what the hell? And then Chris says about 20 minutes later, he has the dice. And this guy comes back and he has more chips in his hand. All right. And he waits. And then when there's a little bit of a delay, he lays $10,000 on the 10. And so Chris's friend says to him, this is a quote, "Dude, nobody wants to see you lose 10 grand. This shooter here is going to roll a 10. And the guy just smiles and ups his lay bet to 20,000. So if a 7 is rolled, he'll win 10. And of course, Chris is at the dice. He's shooting the dice. And he says, his next roll is a 10. Oh. Yeah. So losing 50 grand by the time at a craps table, that's a biggie. That's a biggie. And again, you know, is allegedly Jimmy the Greek said, never fight a streak. You know, and when you're losing, man, you just got to surrender, do something different, or just walk away. You know, never fight a streak. And that's where, of course, sometimes being a competitive individual, you think, well, I'm not going to quit. And that's where that competitive nature can hurt you. You know, I was talking to an orthopedic surgeon about that. I had a hip replacement last October, and we were talking about gambling, and you know, he brought that up and said, you should talk about that. You know, if you're a competitive person in gambling, particularly in craps, sometimes you just say, well, you know what, I can't keep betting this way, or you know, you have to stop because you're fighting a streak. And I think that's great advice by Jimmy the Greek, allegedly. Never fight a streak. And, you know, I paid the penalty for doing that, too, you know, being stubborn. But this is an alert, you know. That's a big loss. Okay, here's another one. This is by Richard. He didn't say where this took place, but he witnessed a guy come to the craps table with $5,000 and went down to $500, then walked away with $25,000. And when he lost $15,000 he lost $15,000 when the seven hit, because that's how much he had on the table. But so even the guy that, you know, he won, but he lost a lot of money trying to get winning. You know, if he had just quit a little sooner, right? It's a little bit of a play on, I should have quit when I was ahead. But I have my own story. I was playing craps at the Argosy Casino in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. And it's since been renamed Hollywood Lawrenceburg. It's one of the Hollywood casinos now. But I was shooting the dice, and I saw a man make three consecutive fill bets of $5,000. And, of course, I rolled a five, which he lost $5,000, and he bet it again. And I rolled a six. Oh, my, I didn't even want to look at him. And to my surprise, he bet $5,000 again, and I rolled another six. And he just turned away from the table and walked away. And all of us at the table, it was sort of a crowded table, just looked at each other and said, you know, what the hell? I mean, $15,000 loss, nonchalantly just walk away quietly. Ouch, ouch, ouch. I'll never make that kind of a bet, you know. And if I lost it, I wouldn't make it again twice. How about you? Well, if you want to add to these, you know, go ahead, feel free to call us, and we can put your call on the podcast. But another issue you could talk about is, have you been playing online betting because the casinos have been closed across the country? Now, I know some of them have started to open in different states, but during the close down of all the casinos across the country and pretty much everything else, did you go to online betting? And if you want to do that, we'll give you up to 5 minutes, just 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. And that's 24/7, of course. It's our answering service. So looking forward to hear if you went to online betting, or if you have some more losses to talk about, you know. We can talk about big wins at another time. But and we've all had our share of those, too, I bet. But we're talking about losses today in this little segment. So let's change the page and move it all along. I want to go back to Nevada and talk about the restaurants opening in and outside of casinos. And we're going to head up to Mount Charleston, to the Mount Charleston Lodge, and hear the manager explain the steps that's been taken to make it as safe as can be.
Most iconic property on Mount Charleston, if not one of the most iconic properties left standing in Las Vegas. We're built back in the 60s, and we've been here dedicating, you know, and working with the community for decades after decades. We were having a pretty good season so far with the winter and coming into a nice spring, and then already got our St. Patrick's decorations all up, and all of a sudden word came down from the governor that we were done and we had to shut our doors. And something the whole world has never really experienced, what we're going through at this time. You know, it was a battle for a lot of the staff getting through, some of them collecting unemployment, some of them not. But we got everybody kind of up and running and back to work. And it's a slow ramp up, but thanks to the dedication of the Board of Health, they were really positive in getting us all the guidelines. And we are really following not the minimum, but the maximum suggested requirements to make sure we keep everybody that walks in this door safe. We are strictly using all paper products, all plasticware, everything is disposable. Everybody's got masks and temperatures tested every day. So we're doing this as safely and soundly as possible, but trying to get this iconic property, the Lodge, back up and running again, because so many people really missed being up here.
And he continues.
Forward to some stability, people knowing that we are here, knowing that we're doing this safely, keeping everybody safe, but yet able to come up and enjoy the, you know, the surrounding mountains and the scenery and this beautiful weather. I'm not quite sure what back to normal is going to be, honestly. You know, we have a lot of weddings planned for the summer and fall season. We're not sure how that's going to play out. So once again, we're still just kind of getting through this day by day, making sure we keep everybody safe, hoping that we do get some normalcy back as we move forward. But we'll adjust to whatever that new normal is as that rolls out.
So we want to thank Fox 5 Las Vegas for the interview. The Mount Charleston Lodge has reopened, and all around the nation, these is guidelines seem to be, you know, relatively standard, that these restaurants are opening again, not in Western Pennsylvania or Pennsylvania in general. It's still all takeout here as we are in late May. But Nevada has opened its restaurants, but at 50% capacity. And of course, there's all kind of sanitation requirements associated. And I think for the general public, I think it's proceed with caution. There's certainly a threat here. You know, the coronavirus is nothing to mess with. It didn't go away just because we're opening up. So we all have to be careful. And I think this this family and this ownership is certainly trying to say that they're doing everything and more to make the restaurant experience as safe as possible. But I think, again, for all of us, it's proceed with caution. As of late May here, but before Memorial Day, it's still an unstable situation as far as determining when the Strip and Fremont Street casinos will open, or any Nevada casino will open. Will they open before Memorial Day, or will they open right after? Hotel reservations that were made, you know, way back in February for Memorial Day, are they going to still be honored, or are you going to be told that, no, you know what, they're closed, we're closed, we're opening up the casino but not the hotel? These are all questions we can answer, hopefully, in our next podcast in early June, but there's still just so many things. And I know probably for most of our listeners, the restaurants near you are opening up in some capacity, if they're not already open already, and it's going to be the same kind of a situation. You know, maybe paper menus, paper plates, a nervous staff, a nervous ownership, and maybe nervous patrons, you know, who knows. But proceed with caution, I think, is the words of wisdom that we can leave you in terms of the openings of restaurants and resorts around the country. And don't think for a second that we're suggesting that America should stay locked down, because that's so far from what we really believe. And one of the issues is that there's this contradictory medical evidence. I mean, we have experts here in the Pittsburgh area. The doctor in charge of UPMC, University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is world-renowned, saying that this has been an overkill. And also, our famous coroner, I mean, he's probably America's most famous coroner, is Dr. Cyril Wecht. He was the one that talked about the conspiracy after the Kennedy assassination, believing that there's no way that could have been one bullet. Well, he's highly respected, you know, coast to coast around the country. And, you know, he's saying that if we don't open up, we're going to destroy our society, maybe our civilization, you know, that America just can't sustain it. And we know we have to open up, and we have to do it quicker than most people think. But the issue is, it's just there's people who have the COVID virus who survive, but they talk about how horrible it is. And I know, too, famous quarterback at Notre Dame, a classmate of mine, Terry Hanratty, lives in Connecticut now. And I heard him talking about this on a video, how challenging it was to get through it. And also a congressman who's also a Notre Dame grad, Mike Kelly. I know him well. And he's been on a local news stations talking about how challenging it was for him. And he's a Republican, you know, so it's not a Democrat that flew off the handle and so on. So it's really a dangerous, highly communicable virus. But on the other hand, mortality rates are low, and people in good health really don't have much to fear. And so we have to open. That's just how it is. I mean, we can't continue. So it's a very, very important decision. And that's why we say you make your own decision. And we're going to suggest that we all proceed with caution. I read the digital version of the Review Journal, which is the daily newspaper of Las Vegas, not only the city, but the surrounding area. And there's voices there to talk about how Vegas will not really be the same, and there's going to be changes. You know, I can picture myself gambling in a mask. I can picture myself eating in a sit-down restaurant in Las Vegas in a strip hotel that I enjoy, but I also understand that people aren't going to come flocking back necessarily because of the fear that they have. And how do you dissipate that? I mean, until there's a vaccine that's foolproof, it's going to be different. And oftentimes the Review Journal has professors from UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, particularly in marketing and such, and gaming professors, who talk about the changes. And, you know, now there's a belief that the Vegas nightclubs will probably be disappearing, and they're packed, literally packed, you know, when you see those pictures. I don't know if you ever run into one as an older person, but I have, and it's Danny and I have, and it's just it's packed. And also the pool parties, you know. I can remember pictures of those pool parties at the Palms, and that's where the big DJ is. And, you know, there's so much human flesh in the swimming pool, you can barely see water. You know, they say that's going to be a thing in the past. So we don't know. That's the point. We don't know. And that's why I wanted to lead today with a successful gambling story, the millionaire, you know, from our hometown here, and take it at that. So whether you will flock to Vegas, fly to Vegas, run to Vegas, drive to Vegas because you can't wait to get back when it opens, I bet you really can't say for certain either. And we know that all the hotels aren't going to open at the same time simultaneously. These gaming companies are going to also proceed with caution in terms of losing money, and they have to also make sure that their places are safe. I know Wynn thought it was a move in the right direction when the governor said that restaurants inside casinos can open, even though the casinos, the gaming areas cannot be open. But they said they don't know if that'd even be worth it. They're going to just observe a thing for a few things and see if it's worth it to open up a restaurant inside their hotel that no longer is able to feature the gaming. So I think they're sounding like they're not going to open up their restaurants until gaming is permitted to be open. And these are all issues that, again, only time will tell how it will be. So we're going to come back for our surprise ending and take a short break. And again, a little more island music that we've used over our previous 87 podcasts. It's the most enjoyable music, and I hope you're digging it right now. And we're coming back with surprise news. Hang on.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. I know Coach Fev has been referring to this segment as surprise news, but it's no surprise to me. On May 18th, MGM Resorts announced that they're bringing back free parking to their properties on the Las Vegas Strip. Again, free parking. Now, what had I been saying long before this? Well, at least back in January, I was talking about how the casinos were going to have to drop or lower the parking fees because a lot of the locals don't even want to go just to have dinner in a restaurant because they don't want to pay to park.
I just want to add to your surprise news that you're not so surprised about. Cosmopolitan also joined MGM.
When did they do that? Just
today.
Today, okay. So I even missed that. That's a surprise to me. Actually, I shouldn't say it's a surprise. I just hadn't heard them announce it. And usually as it goes on the Strip, if one big casino and hotel do something like that, add a fee, drop a fee, then they all follow. Now, it was actually MGM that created the parking fee back in January of 2016, and we were all shocked about that. And they were the first gaming company to implement one to all their guests. Of course, the pandemic is what's behind the change in the company's thinking. And I would say that pushed them to do it quicker. But when I first was talking about them dropping it, there was no pandemic at the time. And I just felt that hearing the fussing of the locals and knowing that a lot of people didn't want to even rent vehicles when they were staying there because they were going to have to pay parking fees, that it was coming. It just had to come. And now there's exceptions to this free parking. There will be no valet parking when the MGM resorts first open, and there will be charges for the Las Vegas Aces and Golden Knights games, the UFC fights, and the championship boxing when they all return. Now, to be fair to MGM, most of the Strip hotels followed their lead and also charged parking fees. However, there were some notable exceptions that did not charge the fees. The Venetian, the Palazzo, the Tropicana, Circus Circus, Treasure Island, Planet Hollywood, and Sahara SLS did not charge its hotel guests. Also, the Wynn and the Encore stopped charging the parking fees before the pandemic shutdown of the Strip. Anyway, MGM has discontinued the fees, and the Casinos USA was one of the first to anticipate that that would happen. Okay, everybody, I have another tip, and this is actually from a financial reporter, Jill Schlesinger, on CBS. She was advising people that if you have any kind of gift cards, that you should probably use them now. If you have restaurant cards and or even retail cards, because in this precarious market and precarious time, a lot of stores are filing for bankruptcy, saying they're going to close X amount of stores, and we really don't know if some of them are going to reopen or not. And it's also true the restaurant business has been hit especially hard because, at least in our state of Pennsylvania, they're still not allowed to have be operational inside. You can only get takeout to go. And how long can these restaurants keep that up and stay in business? And they're afraid that a lot of them are going to close. So anyway, just as a hint, you might, if you have gift cards, you might want to use them now.
You know, also the Nevada restaurants, they can only be open to 50% capacity. So they're being restricted as well.
Right. And these restaurants aren't designed to operate at 50% capacity. Now, maybe the 50% capacity plus the help of the takeout, you know, is going to help them. But we all know that things are going to be very difficult. Okay, another surprise here. Well, it's not truly a surprise, but real estate prices in Henderson are on the rise.
That's Henderson, Nevada.
Henderson, Nevada. Because the LA Raiders players and other employees of the organization want to live in Henderson because the practice facility is there.
I know a lot of the podcasts are saying it's a great time to think about moving to Las Vegas because housing prices are diminishing, reducing, etc. But you know what? In the Henderson area, that's not true.
In the Henderson area, but it's also in a certain price range. In the price range of $350,000, probably to $900,000 or so, that price range is the one that's going up. And there are, though, according to my daughter, good values below that, like a lot of ranch homes, a lot of the smaller homes, maybe some of the older ones, even older neighborhoods. But there are prices falling in some areas.
But the players want more upscale homes with swimming pools, etc. And
right.
they don't want to be far from their practice facility in Henderson.
Right.
And the owner, Mr. Davis, the owner of the Raiders, also will live in the Henderson area, as well as Coach Gruden. So, you know, certain parts of Henderson right now, the prices are going up despite the pandemic.
Well, hopefully I'll run into some of these people when I'm out visiting my daughter. at some of the upscale restaurants. Maybe we'll see them.
Okay. Well, Casinos USA is a special place where every day...
Well, every day used to be Saturday. But, you know, since this pandemic and us being home every day, I don't even know if every day is Saturday. I don't know what day it is.
Okay. Well, despite the confusion, it used to be every day is Saturday. Thank you. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks.